All right, I will welcome you all this evening to the October 15th meeting of the City of Orange Design Review Committee. Welcome to everyone. I will call the meeting to order and ask those who can stand to please do so as we pledge the allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And I'll ask Mr. Beckman to please give us the roll call.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair, and good evening. To begin, Committee Member Gross.
Here.
Present. Thank you. Committee Member McDermott.
Here.
Thank you. Committee Member Ledesma has requested an absence this evening. Committee Member Lopez. We're also noting absence this evening. Committee Member Gladson.
Present.
Great, thank you. Vice Chair Farfan.
Here.
Thank you. And Chair Skorpanich.
Here.
Thank you. With that roll call, I'd like to note that we do have a quorum for this evening.
Thank you. Item number two on our agenda is public comments. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address this committee on any topic within our subject area that is not on tonight's agenda. And so if there is anyone who is here tonight to make said comments, this would be your opportunity to come up to the podium. It looks like we do not have anyone. So we will move on to new business. And item 3.1 is a request to demolish the existing structures and construct a new single family residence and detached garage at 405 East Toluca Avenue. This is design review number 5156. And I'll look to Mr. Beck to give us the staff report, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members of the Design Review Committee. This design review application proposes to remove the existing 480 square foot single family dwelling, the 162 square foot porch, and a 192 square foot one car detached garage or carriage house. The structures were built in 1935 and are designated as non-contributing to the district. The new development will include a 992 square foot three bedroom, two bath single family home, a 495 square foot junior ADU, and a 795 square foot detached two car garage and workshop. The design of the proposed residence features a 412 pitched gable roof with composition shingles, smooth stucco siding, wood clad doors and windows, and a 43 square foot covered front porch. The detached garage matches the home's materials and finishes, including a wood clad garage door. This overall design maintains the historic development pattern of Old Town, in that it includes traditional front and side yard setbacks and a detached rear yard garage configuration, ensuring compatibility with the surrounding neighborhood's character and scale. The design meets the historic preservation design standards for infill construction with compatible massing, height, setbacks, and roof form. The west-facing entry door aligns with other examples in the district, such as 320 East Toluca Avenue, maintaining the neighborhood's rhythm and spatial relationships without creating a false sense of history. Staff would like to note certain aspects of the project tonight in the presentation, the first of which is the floor area ratio. The floor area ratio calculation included on the plans shows a FAR of 0.33, and this included the easement area. It was a staff oversight in that the zoning code does not allow or does not include easement areas in the calculation of floor area ratio. So with the exclusion of the easement area, the corrected floor area ratio is 0.41. And while the FAR exceeds the block average of 0.24, the lot's narrow 40-foot width compared to the block surrounding, compared with the other properties surrounding the subject property, are an average of 60 feet. So it's quite a bit more narrow, which naturally results in a higher floor area ratio for comparable development. Another element of this project that staff wants to speak to is the front easement. In response to neighbor comments that have been received prior to this meeting, staff consulted with the Public Works staff regarding the front easement area. In that consultation, Public Works informed staff that because the easement is not city right-of-way, Public Works will not require a new sidewalk, and staff is supportive of the removal of the proposed sidewalk because it does not serve a circulation purpose. So in conclusion, staff would like to note that staff worked closely with the applicant through four rounds of plan review to bring the project into code compliance. While some inconsistencies remain in the project plan, staff believes that any outstanding issues can be addressed through additional conditions of approval imposed by the committee prior to building plan check. Staff accepts the project historic assessment prepared by GPA Consulting and finds the design consistent with the Old Town Orange Historic Preservation Design Standards, the Secretary of Interior Guidelines, and the City's Infill Residential Design Guidelines. The proposal replaces a non-contributing structure that is currently in poor condition with new construction that meets all applicable development standards of the underlying zoning district. Accordingly, staff recommends that the Design Review Committee approve Design Review 5156 and find the project exempt from CEQA per CEQA State Guidelines subsection 15303. That concludes staff presentation. We're available for any questions.
Thank you for that, Mr. Beck. At this time, there's an opportunity for anybody who's here from the public to comment on this project to come forward to the podium. Please state your name for the record and fill out a card for our record keeper. Yes, go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to comment this evening at the project at 405 East Toluca Avenue. My name is Ashley. My family and I have lived at 415 next door, East Toluca, for over 10 years now. I did submit a comment letter to the Design Review Board on Monday. Sorry for the lengthy dissertation, but...
The committee, I'm sorry, why don't you go ahead with your comments?
Okay.
Unfortunately, we haven't seen that letter, but go ahead with your comments.
Okay. So Toluca is a unique street in the Nutwood Tract of Old Town. The street is made up of a collection of both single-family residences and duplex in a mix of architectural styles and time periods represented. There are only 10 homes on the street, so this project will have a big impact on the character of the neighborhood. I hope this evening is an opportunity to turn this project into something that better respects the history of the site and the neighborhood and is more in line with the spirit of the design guidelines. We would like to see something more like the recently approved project on the vacant lot on River that managed to have a quality development on a constrained lot. We'd like to request that the sidewalk not be extended along the frontage of the site since it infringes on our existing access easement. My comment letter included a parcel map that shows that easement. The sidewalk would create challenges in accessing our shared driveway with the house behind us with 435 East Toluca, and would also make it more difficult for cars to turn around on the street since it is a narrow dead-end street. Additionally, the sidewalk would serve no public purpose since it wouldn't connect anywhere and would dead-end into an existing wall that is not shown on the plans. We would also like to request the relocation of the proposed sewer line away from the shared property line, as well as an arborist prepared construction plan for groundwork in order to preserve the existing mature trees located near the shared property line. While the trees are located on our property, the drip line and canopy extend into 405. Overall, we would like to see a more thoughtful design that better integrates into the Nutwood Tract in Old Town. In the comment letter, there's also, we make some recommended or requested conditions of approval for the project, include pictures as well as that parcel map that clearly shows that we have an existing access easement where they're proposing a sidewalk at the moment. So hopefully you have the opportunity to review that and include that, some of these, as conditions of approval. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, Chair Skripanich and members of the DRC. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the OTPA, Diana's Denick, by the way. And for the record, although you don't have a copy of it, we did agree with all the detailed comments provided by Ashley in her e-comments. I have a copy of it. I know it won't do you any good right now. More specifically, those related to the design are concerns. Typically, new construction in the historic district incorporates traditional architectural styles and details used thoughtfully without creating a false sense of history to ensure compatibility with surrounding structures. This design, however, does not do that. It lacks any recognizable style or architectural character. The facades are austere, the windows and doors unframed, and there's no discernible reference to any historic style found within Old Town. It reads as the most cost-efficient means of construction rather than a design that contributes to the character of the district. In avoiding mimicry, it has instead abandoned compatibility. No in-depth or updated survey appears to have been conducted, only a windshield level review. We also noted in the DPR that this property was identified in the reconnaissance level survey as a non-contributor to the district. Presumably, the determination was based on mismatched cladding and replacement windows, conditions that could have been reversed. You're being asked tonight to approve demolition of a home based only on reconnaissance survey with no further investigation. It also appears that you're being asked to approve demo of what appears to be a reasonably intact garage that most likely also dates back to the period of significance with no assessment whatsoever. Is this really how we want to be demoing historic period buildings in our district? Just a reminder that the resource in question is the district itself. If the primary purpose of CEQA is to inform the decision makers of potential impacts caused by their actions, it would seem prudent that the DRC fully understand the potential impacts, as well as potential cumulative effects of similar projects. Our understanding is that exemption from CEQA must take into consideration the potential impacts of cumulative effect, have the potential effects of demolishing potentially contributing accessory buildings within our district been assessed? Has it been considered? If not, it would seem the application from any CEQA exemption may be inappropriately used in this case. We very much appreciate that a historic assessment has been prepared for the new proposed development. However, the assessment seems to fall short of discussing the proposed demo. I would ask that the DRC not move forward with approving this project until these questions have all been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Regarding the public comment, we just want to make sure that the committee does have an opportunity to have any comments as part of the record. Do you know, Ms. Marino, if we have a copy of the comment? Okay. Committee members and chair, would you like to take would you like to continue with the conversation, or would you like to take a brief break just to have an opportunity to read the comment into the record, or have an opportunity to provide you a copy of the comment?
Yes, I would like to have copies, and what I'd like to do next, though, is allow the applicant an opportunity if they want to make a presentation, and then we can take that.
That would be appropriate. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. So at this time, the applicant has an opportunity to come forward and make any comments, make a presentation if you like. It's purely optional. If you'd like to do so. And please state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Rafi Bagdasarian. I'm the property owner of 405 East Toluca, which I purchased last year in March of 2024. We started the process back then, and it's been a long journey of 18 months working with three different planners. Unfortunately, the planners were let go, and the project got pushed to different multiple planners. The project been reviewed by multiple different planners, and finally Arlen took over And his help, we did get the project modified as needed to accommodate the historic, the look and all the laws and policy that we should follow. We did make sure that we do follow all the California construction code compliant as well. And we came to this final conclusion, which Arlen does approve it, and it is backed up by our historic assessment architectural, GOP, which is their historic architect committee, that, architectural firm that actually gave us the memo for this, that we do comply with all the regulation. Now, our main goal is to build a new beautiful development. It's actually going to be my primary home. This is not any rental property. In fact, you know, we do intend to put very high-end materials in there, as you see on your end. You know, we did choose to go with smooth stucco, as some of the neighborhood does have smooth stucco, so we did comply with the finishing. And as far as the wood cladding, cladding window and doors, those usually tend to be on a higher end. And then the roof shingles, majority of neighbors have the roof shingles there. So we've made sure that we do stay within the neighborhood look and then develop a beautiful project. And that's about it. As far as the sidewalk, it is actually as a good faith since actually I do there's a lot of development myself. I'm a general contractor and real estate investor. So in a good, when we do a development project like this, usually public work does require us to put a sidewalk. If it's going to be an issue, in fact, actually going to save us money to not do it. So we spoke this morning after review, after reading the letter was provided by Ashley, I'm open to not building a sidewalk as it'll be more cost effective to me. And we actually can use, I can gain additional parking because now they, the previous owner was used to park one of their vehicle there. Other than that, you know, we're I'm here to hopefully we can get this approved and then start building this beautiful building because unfortunately, currently I can have photos I can share with you guys. It is completely uninhabitable. I do understand the historic and we want to maintain the look of it, but unfortunately, the current condition, there's currently mold in the house. The main sewer line, which is old cast iron, there's a bunch of holes in them, which we actually had a dropped camera in there just to see how it is. It's in really poor condition, so we want to get rid of all the cast iron, put the ABS system, bring it up to new technology, and to bring it to nice habitable condition, the property. Even the old tenant that whom used to live there, believe it or not, for the I think they've been there for they were living there for about 8 years. They didn't even have access to the single car garage. Once we opened it, we discovered there was a bunch of tools from the previous owner whom haven't lived at the property for the longest time. So with that being said, I'm over here. We're trying to get the project approved and after 18 months get approved so we can start building and hopefully me and my family can eventually move in there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We may have some more questions for you as the meeting progresses, but go ahead and take your seat for now. Thank you. Thanks. And with that, we'll take a 5-minute break. Thank you. Written comment letter and City Attorney Durian, did you have a comment to make?
Thank you, Chair. For the record, the city received a written public comment regarding the item prior to the meeting. It appeared that the comment was not initially included in the packet that was provided to the committee to ensure a complete administrative record and compliance with the Brown Act. We recommended that the comment be entered into the record, and I would like to ask Chair to officially enter the comment into the record now and the committee acknowledge receipt prior to final action, please.
Okay. So let's just take care of that now. I will acknowledge that the committee members present have received printed copies of the comment letter that was submitted for this item. And if we could just do a quick round of acknowledgments from the other committee members that they, in fact, have seen the letter.
Member Robert Gross, I have received and reviewed the letter.
Yes, I have received and reviewed the letter. Ann McDermott. I received and reviewed the letter, Jericho Farfan.
Thank you.
I also, in matching up with my colleagues on the committee, have received this letter, and I put a note that I got it at 5:49 p.m. on today's date.
Thank you. And I'll also acknowledge the same. With that, we will begin with questions for staff or questions for the applicant.
I have a few questions.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I will just say that I also appreciate very much the letter that was submitted by the members of the public, and I did note many of those things myself when I looked at these, and I have some questions for whoever has the answers. regarding the windows and doors, they are all described in all the schedules and notes as wood clad. Clad with what? Well, generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, generally a wood clad window is clad with vinyl or aluminum or fiberglass, or what is the finish of the wood?
I don't mean to interrupt, but that is correct. So a wood clad object is a wood object clad with vinyl.
Or so something
the language
else.
Is inappropriate. You know, it's okay. The definition. It's not. It's not wood clad. This is. It's a wood element clad with vinyl. Or that's. I agree. It's a technical issue. In
that was a misunderstanding.
Okay. Yes. So
apologies.
So I looked on the website of the manufacturer, but I could not tell what is the finish. What are these windows and doors?
That would have to be an answer. That would have to be a question for the applicant. It was not specified.
If you'd come forward, please.
Okay.
So wood clad is, like you said, it is clad by with vinyl. It's provided by Melgard as well.
So these are vinyl clad wood windows. Vinyl clad wood windows. Uh-huh. Okay. And the doors, the entry doors, are they clad or are they wood? What is the material?
So as far as the doors, they're actually solid steel, but they're made of wood. They're solid wood.
The entry doors are solid wood. And then I see that when you've the specification for the garage door is noted as steel.
Correct.
But except on the schedule, it says wood clad.
It is wood clad as well,
okay.
The same as the
wood. But it's steel, right?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Thank you for that. And the window glass is clear glass?
Correct.
Not tinted? And there are no, there's nothing else on that glass. The trim boards, which are hardy plank material, what is the finish of those? Are they smooth?
So they come in both finishes. The one panel, I do have a photo of them, come both finishes, come with smooth and the textures. We're going to apply the smooth.
Smooth finish. Okay, that should be noted on the plans. All of these details should be on the plans.
I understand. But there is a photo on the, so it's showing the smooth side going to be used.
Smooth side, okay. Yeah. And then in the lighting, what type of lamps are going to be used in the lights?
LED to comply with tile 24.
I'm sorry?
LEDs to comply with Title 24.
Okay, LEDs. And do you know what the color temperature of those is going to be?
Usually all the LEDs ranges from, you can modify it from 2,500 all the way up to 5,000 lumens. So we can change them to whatever
you
want. Usually I like to do it somewhere around 4,000, not too yellow, not too white.
4,000 is very, very bright, cool white. So generally, and I believe it's in the standards that... Mm-hmm. In Old Town, the color temperature should be warm.
Warm around the 3,000,
so,
that's fine.
Like to 2,700.
2,500 all the way to 5,000, you can adjust them.
Okay. And then the rear yard, how is the rear yard accessed from the, there's no side door or on the house. Mm-hmm. So how do you get to the backyard from the front of the front porch?
Mm-hmm.
And walk around the house?
You're going to have to basically walk all around.
Down the driveway?
Yes.
So if you want to eat at the picnic table in the backyard, you go out the front door?
Correct.
Okay. Why is the garage so big?
Or the sliding door.
There's a sliding door? Where's the sliding door? In the bedroom?
Oh, bedroom number two? Can I see bedroom number two?
Is that the front window? Is the sliding door? I'm sorry. Right there. It's been a long time.
Nothing on the elevations.
Yeah, maybe you can confirm on the elevation might be.
No.
No, sorry, from the front door only. My apologies. It's been quite a bit journey.
Those are sliding windows.
Windows, yes. So from the front door.
So from the front door. That's the only door that there is.
Yeah.
Okay. And the garage, why is the garage so big? It's a two-car garage. Usually that's 20 by 20, but there's like extra, there's a lot of extra space in there. Is there a programmatic, what's going on there?
So it's usually 21 by 21, the garage, double two-car garage, but then I love home gym, so.
So it's got a home gym in it.
I'm going to build me a gym, to be honest.
Okay.
Since COVID, I haven't been open to attend a public gym, so.
Okay. And the landscape and hardscape is a little, it's different on the landscape plan than it is on the site plan. So should we assume that the landscape plan is the correct?
So to be honest, I forward the plan to the landscape architect based on the floor plan. He built it.
There's a lot more concrete on the landscape plan than there is on the architectural site plan.
Architectural is more correct.
So this access to this little sidewalk area to the side yard is not going to be there?
No. Sorry, one more time, please.
So in the rear yard, if you look at the architectural site plan, it shows a lot more grass area and not as much concrete. There's a sidewalk that goes around, right there. Is that not going to be there? And how much, can we compare that to the, see, there's much more grass area, right? And not as much concrete.
Yeah.
So which one should we consider?
We're going to maintain grass. Maintain grass.
So this, the architectural site plan?
Yes.
Mr. Beck, what page is this on the plan sheet, so we know?
This is the first page, A01.
Okay.
That's more accurate, A01.
Okay.
See, it's different there with
the... Yes, it is. All right, okay, that is... those are the questions that I have for now. Thank you, Chair.
Chair Skorpanich, yes. I have a couple of... kind of higher level questions. I know
Certainly.
These are important details too, but walk us through your vision. You recently acquired the property, the house, mm-hmm. and you have an architect. I don't think the architect's here tonight.
No.
And you've been working with Mr. Beck. Give us a bit of a story, the timeline, the story of the details of coming to the conclusion that you did to demolish the whole thing, including the garage, the shed, the house, and the assessment that was just part of it, which is one element, just so we get an understanding of that part, because what I'm leaning to is the first question for me I want to understand is the demolition. We have to look at the project in terms of the demolition of these structures.
Correct. So
that's what I need to know.
Okay, great. Certainly. So in March 2024, during escrow period, I did attempt to walk into the city and spoke with Angelo over counter. We went over the details and stuff. He did guide me to the proper guidelines. So we did start the process, and a few months in, he actually did give me a list of historic architectural, the people that evaluates the project. They did give me a list of them, and they did hire one of from the list. So we went ahead, worked on the architectural plans, directly me and my architect. Finally, I would say August or maybe June of 2024, we did hard submittal, which was the USP back in the days before the portal was up. However, Michael took over at that time after submittal. So we went back and forth for over until I would say February of 2025 of this year until Michael was let go from the city or he departed from the city. So we did work closely, me and him. After the first submittal, he did give us the comments, what needs to be corrected and modified. So we did all that work back and forth with Michael, and then we ended up submitting the project somewhere around 3rd or April of this year. And then this is when Arlen took over, and we closely worked with Arlen to get to this point.
Right. And so,
sorry, to make the comment of demolition, so I lost the whole point.
It's okay.
After the first submittal, it was required by the building department to do demolish. So I did come forward to do an addition, which will be most cost effective for me. I can just do more or less a modification. Since we were in their comment, the building department comments was like, since we're modifying more than 50% of the property, we're going to have to do a new demolition and ground up construction. But, so it was recommended by the building department to demolish and do ground up.
Right, but you needed a demolition permit.
100%.
You needed demolition
abatement. I'm well aware of all the additional costs on my end and the outcome of demolition because it's not my first development project. I have done many in many historic Placentia or in Long Beach as well, and as well as Redondo, Manhattan Beach. So I'm well aware of all the. It's probably going to cost me anywhere between $30,000 to $40,000 just to demo the house.
Sure.
Which I wish I could avoid it, but it's unfortunate.
I guess what I'm trying to stay at a higher level on, and I know there's important details here, but I believe I'm hearing from you that you knew you were buying a property that was in a national register listed district.
Correct.
And you knew that there were requirements and details, a lot of details. I mean, it's a very complicated place to live or to buy. So those were things you were aware of and you got the answers from staff.
Correct.
Did you get advised to, your historic assessment is really looking at our compliance with the standards when you're doing a new construction, when you're doing new stuff.
Yeah.
Was there a question about going back and looking at the big detail of the fact that this is in our period of significance? We have buildings here that date from that period, and while it might have initially been looked at as non-contributing, I'm curious of why that additional work to look at the contributing elements of all of these were not assessed by your consultant.
As far as the, it was just a comment by the building department to must be demolished and rebuilt.
The building department?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And there is provisions in that in our code, but we don't have that report, but... Is that the house or is that the all of them?
Their main comment after the first submittal was since we tried to maintain, I would say, the wall between us and Ashley, I would say, maybe, and then just do addition this way and then this way. However, since we were, their comment was since we're going to be modifying 50%, more than 50% of the property, it must be ground up and reconstruct. And this is how it cost me more money to redevelop, redraw the whole plans because this is since the new construction law changes for the new construction versus a remodel, we fall under different categories. So things change. I had to change the historic report, which they cost me more money. My architect cost me more money because we had to change the whole plan all over again after the building department comments.
Yeah, because one of my questions, and we'll talk a little bit further as we go, and Mr. Beck too, is and this was raised by, I think, our other public speaker, is the garage. The garage is a secondary building, but it looks to me... like it has a good deal of integrity.
I have photos. It's almost impossible to open the door because he has one of those sliding barn door.
Right.
The bar and the woods are falling. But I have photos I can share with you guys. I actually have photos of the current condition. I would love to share so you guys can understand.
So we'll get clarification on that. I just really want to understand more about the demolition part of it, because that is a really big thing to essentially have us make a decision on something that's in the district that
indeed, and it is costing
be
us.
Contributing.
Yeah, and it's costing me overall project a lot more, and then it's unfortunate we're not able to avoid it because of the comment from the building department. The planning didn't matter to them, but building wanted us to follow to do it.
Yeah, Ms. Gladson, could we pivot for a second
sure.
and hear from staff about whether this is the first? I mean, I've been on the DRC for quite a long time, and this is the first I heard about requiring demolition. Can you speak to that?
We don't have a written comment in the record to refer to in this case, and so I can't speak for the building department or in this case for the applicant as to what those conversations surrounded. This project did not go through the typical SRC review process, and because it's a design review application, and so single family homes are not required to be circulated for internal review and comment.
Okay.
So if that was part of the discussion, it was not something that's captured in the record, and so that then becomes effectively a decision by the property owner as to how they wish to move forward.
It just strikes me as an implausible policy of the city. Not that I doubt that that's what you were told, because
I have record of the person that made this comment.
But had this been a contributing structure that was, what is it, 400 and some square foot house? I mean, it's an extremely tiny house. That it would be required to be demolished, just, I mean, seems insane. But anyway, since we don't have the answer to that, we'll move on. And
Chairperson Skorpanich, I appreciate exactly the question you're asking, because it begs the question from Mr. Beckman. I said it earlier, we're in the historic district. We are located in the Nutwood Tract. Those are pretty easy things to flag. And yes, there are provisions for single family, but I'm also seeing the fact that we got to deal with CEQA. We have to make a category. We have to make a California Environmental Quality Act decision here. And whether this is contributing or not, we're using exemptions that don't apply typically for demolitions. So those are the answers I really want to understand too. So those are questions I need answered just to get clear. So
and we've had tool sheds from the period of significance that we have not been able to allow demolition of, and this is more than that.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to jump back and forth with too many confusing things, but this is why I'm keeping myself at 40,000 feet, because I got to deal with that question, because we're looking at demolition. And yes, previously on the design review committee, we did the same thing, Ms. McDermott. We knew exactly what we were potentially doing, and we didn't want to have harm. I have questions for staff, so I'll stop for now. But we'll let others ask questions.
Well, why don't you go ahead with the staff questions? You could have a seat, sir.
That I guess, Mr. Beck, the staff report says that that's kind of related to where I'm also going. We're the final body. Okay, correct?
That's correct.
So we are the ultimate finders of fact and the findings that relate to the design review part, but also the CEQA part, and also the demolition part. And I looked, but we don't have findings for demolition in our code, or there's not a set of findings for that too. That's another piece that I'm like, so that's the stuff for staff to tell me how you got to this direction and your thinking on the exemption, which is a class three.
So if I understand the question being posed, do you have a question about the categorical exemption? Is that your question?
Yes.
Okay, so the categorical exemption, subsection 15303, allows for the construction of new single family homes, and understanding that this is within the historic district, there are exemptions to the categorical exemptions. However, based on our review, we found that it was within the purview of the class three categorical exemption.
And as it pertains, I think, if I can jump in as well, just in response, at the processing level for this type of an application, as you know, staff doesn't have the expertise to really weigh in significantly on that. And so in these cases, we do rely on the purview of the DRC in regards to these matters. So the project that we're bringing forward to you, the effort has been to get it into code compliance. And so that's what we have. And that's basically the extent of the type of influence that we can really affect on this type of project. So we present it in its status as a code compliant project, and we present it with an applicant prepared analysis into consistency with the guidelines. And as a matter of either agreeing or disagreeing, I think that is what we're requesting that the DRC provide some direction on for this project moving forward. And so Arlen has worked with this applicant. The applicant's worked with multiple planners. And in the interest of permit streamlining requirements, our desire was to bring it to a public hearing so that we can have these conversations and ultimately, I believe, make a decision on how to best move forward. So we present the record as best as we can see fit, because that's really the limit of staff's involvement to this process. And we understand and appreciate the role that the DRC has in providing that more independent and objective review of the guidelines as they apply. So we do ask for that direction tonight.
So Mr. Beckman, the Permit Streamlining Act is related to the timing of reviewing projects and iteration after iteration. And if I heard you correctly, this did not go through SRC. It's a little tricky to have it both ways when you've got Permit Streamlining Act. You usually want to use that body as your tool to keep you on track. What is there an urgency on timeline for this? I mean, this is...
Well, generally, there's always an urgency on timeline. We prefer not to keep applicants in a project review status any longer than we have to. And as I mentioned before, there's only so much that we can apply when it comes to the subject matter expertise that we have access to. So that's the nexus.
That's us.
Yeah, so that is you.
That's
yeah,
us.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's helpful.
Any other questions, Ms. Gladson? Okay.
Not right now.
Okay. Anyone else with questions?
Yes. A couple of technical things, just so I understand from staff's point of view. The HVAC's location of trash, am I incorrect to understand that those should be out of the line of sight from the street or the right of way, meaning in the back of buildings? Or is this on the side A? Am I wrong on that?
So it is on the side there. It will be screened by a gate. So it is out of sight from the street, but if there's a more appropriate location that, you would want to move it to, of course.
I'm just saying from past, it's, even with or without gates, I'll let my other colleagues say otherwise. I'd prefer them in the back because that's what we have approved on others in the past as well and held people to. The size of the garage, I take issue with it's a secondary structure, but this whole issue of the area and the calculation that was used. So is the FAR 0.41? Is it 0.33? What is the What's the criteria?
So when excluding the 25-foot dedication easement in the front, the FAR calculates 2.41 FAR.
So is that the official standing of staff that that is the number to use?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's 0.41. Well, that's certainly is an area, there's a building there that could, anyways, modifications could be made. You know, the use of materials, the lack of understanding of some of the detailing on the building needs to be addressed. There are aspects of right-of-way issues, easements, and utilities that have been mentioned here, which is not a part of our purview, but certainly needs to be considered if there's any adjustment to be made from easement issues and what the front yard setback impacts are. I do struggle with the fact that items have been designated as non-contributing. In the Old Town District, we've done, you know, such a, we put so much effort into, you know, talking about even small tool sheds and things that we work with the applicant to figure out how to maintain, modify, and keep those elements. So I would like to understand more about how it just got designated that way, in spite of the fact that we've spent so many times talking to so many other applicants on the same topic and encourage them and work with them to keep things. Now, I think you're right. You start at the 40,000 foot view and work your way down. I don't want to talk about the windows. I think that's self-evident, so I'm not going to get into the detail of that.
Other questions? Mr. Farfan.
Yes, I have some questions for the applicant. I'm going to concentrate mostly on planting and driveway width, and also the style of the concrete and the style of the building. What style of this building? I know we're not supposed to mimic, or, but what style of this? What's the elevation style that you're going for this building?
Cranium. With the stuck, was that correct?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Mediterranean.
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 Yeah.
Okay, because on page 3 of the staff report says the architectural style of the blocks is craftsman bungalow and also minimal traditional and ranch style homes.
So there's this discrepancy with the city's record, because it does point out is it Mediterranean house, and then whatever the finding of our consulting firm was. So I believe the record on the city when they proposed that the house, the original house, is in Mediterranean style was not correct. So I think we do want to propose being more of a Mediterranean style with the smooth stucco and wood looking doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because currently for me, what I'm seeing is the design of the facade of the house doesn't really tend to shift in any direction. It's just a square pointed roof with a little awning. Mm-hmm. It has no hint of any architectural detailing, in my opinion. In looking at the plan that you see on the screen, you have a 9-foot driveway, and you have the hardscape hitting the edge of the building, right? And is there a reason why there's no planting, foundation planting against that building?
Against where? I'm sorry.
On the where it says 9 feet right there, along that whole edge from the front of the house to the back, there's no landscape buffer.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that?
I tend not to like to put landscape near the house just to avoid roots going to the foundation, and that just tend to be my practice as a contractor. Mm. So I try to do all the planting away from the property.
Yeah, typically we like to put a foundation of shrubs against the foundation of a building. It just breaks up that elevation. Mm-hmm. I try to prevent what we're seeing here. It just looks very industrial. Mm-hmm. Very utilitarian, something you don't want to see in a neighborhood. You do have your gas and other utilities on the right, and your cars are going to run into those. You know, if landscape kind of helps you sort of avoid, you know, a car really doesn't want to go really close to the building. I know you're tight on space. You have 9 feet there. But typically we would like to see some sort of relief of the building. Also, all your utilities, you know, you can't save an orange tree and put Dodonea and have all these utilities run at the same area. They collide. You know, as you know, you can't, you know, you have roots, you have utilities. So those need to be somewhere else. And I think I would go underneath the driveway. It'd probably be the best area.
Which utility are you referring to exactly?
Like water and to your utility plan?
Mm-hmm. Right here.
Uh-huh. So you have an existing, you see a property line, you see your house, mm-hmm. you have an existing tree there that you're trying to save that doesn't look like it's the right place. And then you have, in front of all the windows, you have Dodoneo shrub. So you can't have both. You can either have the shrubs or the sewer line, or the sewer line, not the shrubs.
We can go on the driveway side. Should I make
Yeah, so just an observation.
Yeah.
In terms of, and I think you mentioned that the plans don't match, and I think there was a conversation. Shava mentioned that, but thank you. That's all the questions I have for right now. Thank you.
Okay, so the mission here of the Design Review Committee is to, for this body to make an assessment of the proposals that come before us, and we are required to make findings in order to approve a project. And in this case, there are findings that we must make that the project meets the Old Town Preservation Design Standards, that it meets the Secretary of Interior Standards, and that it meets essentially all other standards and regulations that the city has. And so that sort of tells you why we are asking some of the questions that we are asking. I will start with comments, that sounds okay, to my colleagues. I noted the same thing that Ms. Gladson did, in that the assessment states that the firm was hired just to assess the new project. And normally when we see an assessment like this in the district or for a standalone historic property, they're looking at the existing buildings that are proposed to be demolished or changed and discussing whether they still retain enough of their historic integrity or not, and things that might be done to that building to bring it back to a condition that would have it be in its more historic state and contribute to the district. And so I was dismayed to see that the assessment really only did kind of half of that job. And while the windshield survey that has been done in the past makes a statement that the main structure is a non-contributor, which means it's been modified so much that it doesn't still have that integrity. There's nothing about the other buildings that are on the property, and I would have liked to see something about that. In fact, I looked at the historic Sanborn maps for the area, and while the form says that the date of construction was 1935, all three of these buildings are showing up in the 1922 Sanborn map. So these buildings are more than 100 years old now, and I think that would merit doing more of an assessment about their status and their ability to still convey that historic character to them. So I did have a problem with that aspect of our application package. I'll go next to the floor area ratio. And what the preservation standards for Old Town state is that new construction or additions to existing structures should aim for no higher than the average floor area ratio for the block for contributing structures, which is, as been noted, 0.26, or in other words, 26% of the lot area is covered by buildings. The property is currently at 12% coverage. And you were proposing, at least in the calculation that was in our package, to go to 0.34, which it would be one third. Now we're hearing that there's a different way to do that calculation, which would push that up to 0.41. So in my mind, that is a very definite problem with the project that we have proposed that we're looking at in front of us. I have a couple of comments about the design. Some of that's already been noted. What the standards say is for projects that for new construction, although the new construction may not be historic, it has an impact on the streetscape and it has an impact on the district, which in this case is the historic resource, not individual structures or buildings, but the district itself. And so the standards go on to say that new construction should be in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. When I look at this proposed design, I see an architectural style that looks more like something from a 1950s tract of homes, not something from the 1880s or 1930s. While the existing home may be a Mediterranean style, that is smooth plaster with a flat roof, which is more characteristic of the kinds of sort of architectural genres. There is also very long sides to the building without any architectural relief. And I believe there's something in the, I don't have the actual quote, but I believe there's something in the infill design standards about maybe 30 feet, does that sound familiar, of a one solid plane to any side of a building without some kind of relief. The infill design standards also say that the architectural design should reinforce the character of the neighborhood, and it need not match the design of existing development, but incorporate design features that established a contextual relationship with its surroundings. And I think more work could be done in this regard for the architectural design. And lastly, I have some comments about the materials. Having an issue with both wood clad and with hardy plank. I could go either way. I think what we heard was that it is proposed to be a steel garage door, and that's what's in the staff report, rather than wood. Is it, Mr. Beck, the case that the passage doors are the wood clad for the garage? Was that maybe
the
why that
plan showed the garage door and the entry doors as wood clad?
Well, they're all
they are
okay.
Steel. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, the wood clad is definitely not in keeping with the standards. And the hardy plank, while it's permissible, it's not really authentic to the time period. So those were my thoughts as. In addition to things that my colleagues have mentioned, that there's some discrepancies in the plans and some incomplete pieces that we normally would like to see all wrapped up. Comments from other members?
I have some comments. Actually, I'd like to start with the front elevation, because it's mentioned in the staff report that it does not comply with the front door facing the street. However, it's acceptable because of the front porch. And I would just like to look at the elevations, if we could look at that sheet of elevations. And I don't have a problem with the door being off to the side. The problem is that it does not look like the front of the main house. It is extremely oversimplified to be the front entrance. If you look at the north elevation of the ADU, that looks like a front door. If you look at the workshop door, that looks like a front door. But this entrance is absolutely inappropriate to be the front facing, street facing facade. And I don't find that it complies. It's not because the door is to the side. It has to do with the whole way that this is designed. It's under is underdesigned to be the front of the house. Besides that, I believe there are quite a few issues. The garage is oversized. It doesn't need to be this big, and we already are too. We have too much coverage on the site. I think a standard two-car garage is 20 by 20 feet, and I think that the size of this garage needs to be reduced. I also can't make the finding that this is compatible with an integrated design theme because, as you mentioned, others have mentioned, the lack of style and articulation. The project just is not compatible with the neighborhood. There were other things that were brought up in the comments from the neighbor that I think are all valid. There's very little yard space. It's my understanding that we require open space so that it has to be usable. And so for the people that live in the house, how are they going to have a seating area or recreation area or anything if it's mostly concrete in the backyard? And none of that is really designed for use, for a residential use. I think that needs to be addressed to be usable. There's no side entrance. I mean, you come out the front door and walk down the concrete driveway, which, as was mentioned, is not very well landscaped or articulated. It's more of an industrial look than a residential look. So I think the surfaces need to be addressed. The architectural interest and style needs to be addressed. The front porch needs to be addressed. And I'm not sure about the preservation of the trees. There seems to be discrepancy as to where some of the trees are located, if they can be preserved or not. I think that needs to be addressed. And then there is the much larger issue of the demolition. And I feel that the assessment is inadequate for us to be able to approve a demolition of buildings that are within the period of significance in the historic district. I don't think we have enough information to be able to make that decision. Those are my comments, and I'm very interested in what the rest of the committee has to say.
Mr.
Gross.
I apologize to say this word, but I'm a little frustrated with this process that we're going through, because the issue of looking at the historical issues of what's there seems to be unclear to me, unless I can be seen or understood otherwise. And it's the elements that are there, seem to be glossed over in the information that I've read. So this easement issue is of concern to me. Does the building comply? I don't even fully understand the easement impacts. Does a setback has to be reconsidered if the easement's enforced? Maybe staff can advise, even is a setback issue valid based on an easement calculation, or am I misreading that? Can you advise me on that? I appreciate it.
So it does show the 25-foot dedication easement here. The front yard setback is measured from the easement. So the front yard setback is measuring at the 20 feet front yard setback here.
So that complies from...
So it does
that's
comply
accurately
with
rendered.
Yeah.
Okay.
And may I ask, related to that, is that... that easement, is that the front, is that the property line for the rest of the block? So in other words, does that go in a straight line down the block, where you're showing this dashed line for the easement?
No, this is a very unique
sure.
Lot in that the lot goes to the center line of Toluca, and therefore that's why we have that easement. And as was provided, we can see that that has been, there's an access easement along that area. Um, if you go to the project site, that area of the street is concrete, it's not asphalt, and that kind of delineates where the city right-of-way ends and the property of 405 Toluca begins.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Gross, go ahead.
No, I just, I think the overarching issue, and I don't want to get into the details as an architect, is the care given in the comments that have been made, you know, even pointing out that the gas meters are on the driveway that are at risk and not protected, are not buffered in any way. I just want to, maybe we get the applicant back up here. You can hear the concerns we have. There's so much more work needs to be done to justify it. Is there a way forward where this can be relooked at by the applicant and staff and be brought back forward? That'd be my question.
That would be a continuance.
Chair Skorpanich, I think that's probably the direction we're going, but I do want to also share for my colleagues, like the chair did, my light bulb said, because I want to know the cultural significance of things too. I know and appreciate the architectural significance of structures in our old town, but I leap to looking up our old directories. So I want to know who lived here. So I went and did a quick look today, and it's not a full chain of title, but you noted the Sanborn maps. Well, it does look like that there was a permit pulled in 36 for a garage by a gentleman named Carl Allen, a citrus worker. Well, I want to know more about him. And then there's subsequent folks that are here because, as we've all know, we sit in the Beckett building that is non-contributing. And we learn more about history as time progresses. So I am also disappointed with the assessment. And I see names of more chain of title that would ask me, who might have been here? There's a single nurse, because that's like, this would be a perfect little house for a single person. So the story behind the house is part of the stuff we have to look at. We may end up finding out that that cultural history isn't as significant as we may think, but we need the answer. And as Ms. McDermott has also shared, the social history of the district is a real big reason why it's on the National Register, in addition to architecture. So they play together. So I was disappointed that the non-contributing stuff weighed more heavily, and I want us to do things correctly. And if I'm got the evidence that's ironclad, that something is appropriate to demolish, I will be okay with that, but I want to get there with the evidence. So that's my caution. And I said earlier, I have to look at, based on these little things in my head, if I was doing a CEQA checklist, I would be wanting to potentially do more. I wouldn't find this qualifying for an exemption. I would probably want to do an initial study, and I know that's very plannery thing, but double check. But that's what's missing, and it is disappointing that we don't have those answers.
You're right. Typically, in one of these historic resource assessments, we also will see who was it that built the home, who lived in it over the years, because there could be some other historical significance beyond.
It appears on the records in 1936 that it was built and vacant, and then it was sold to a Carl Allen in 36. Mm-hmm. But it could have been in the 20s. We don't know exactly all this detail, but there's some fun names, and if I had time, I could go look at, you know, we know some of the social history of Orange, the names of, you know, W.O. Hart, and names of Kogler and other family names. There's a name of Kramer in this string. Well, I don't know if that's a Kramer family member from Anaheim. And so this is the reason why we got to do this due diligence. It's really important, particularly when we're going to allow the demolition.
Mr. Farfan.
Thank you. I think this misses on a lot of different levels, starting with functional. We talked about gas line and foundation planting. Architectural is a miss. Planting is a miss in terms of preserving existing planting. And then we just covered the historical and cultural. There's just so many misses on every level. I think the body that you have in front of you has done, it feels like it's done more research, and since we had this within a week, than the team that has looked at this project for you. And for that reason, it's just very hard to move this forward on, is my opinion. So that's where I stand.
So it sounds as though we are going to be continuing this project. And we have heard a number of comments that the committee would like to see incorporated into the project when it comes back to us. Are there any other items that we might want to add to that list before we call for a motion?
Do we want to consider some of the conditions that the neighbor proposed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for reminding me of that. So let's just make a blanket statement, if we could, to consider those comments that were made by the letter submitted, particularly about utilities and the easements and protecting trees and so forth.
I would also comment just as a very detailed thing, if wood clad windows are to be used, they absolutely should not be clad with vinyl.
No, I would say that we should go with wood windows and doors, with the exception of the garage door.
Wasn't there something also about
flexibility about steel?
Yeah.
On the outside. That would be allowable, I think. I don't know what my committee members think about the garage door material.
I think the style of the garage door is what the look of the door is, seems more ranchy to me, but maybe
the style is one issue. The material, I believe that
we've allowed steel.
We've
in the
allowed
past.
Metal.
Yeah, we've allowed
and
metal
steel. And I think doors. Mm-hmm. We may have done. Have we done clad? We may have done metal clad windows before aluminum clad.
I think we may have had where it's vinyl inside and wood on the outside.
I don't know if they do it that way.
Yeah. But it does need to be wood.
Exposed wood.
Yes, it needs to be wood on the exterior of the windows and doors.
Is that what it says in the standards? Because I think that alternative... On a new house?
New construction?
No vinyl is what
no vinyl,
is my
yes,
position.
Yeah,
okay.
And it has to be material that's used in the historic period, is what it says.
Metal would.
Metal, but not aluminum. I mean, aluminum would not be from that period. Steel casement windows, for example, would mm-hmm. be
right.
From that period.
So a closer reading of the standards there.
Yes, yeah.
Do we want them to consider looking at a design that's reflective, not matching the style of the original house, if they're going to tear it down? I mean, there's been comments about it feels more like a 1950s.
Yeah. I think we might want to allow a little bit more flexibility, since it sounds like you already prepared plans for a addition. you may not need to tear it down, and so that you would take into these things into consideration then, and you would need to look at the preservation design standards for Old Town for the sections on historic properties, on those rather than on the very last chapter in that document, which is for new construction or infill. So there's a little bit more there's a little bit more flexibility, and it's all new construction in terms of what's required. But because this will be, and it may be that you could still go back to doing the addition. You would have a historic home then, and you may be able to qualify for something like a Mills Act program incentives for historic properties. So I think we kind of want to leave it open in case we don't have to do demolition here. That would be very cool.
And the reason I bring it up is that the word traditional materials is what mm-hmm. I think we're talking about. And
exactly.
The same with the roof. Was there, I think staff noted the roof materials were not traditional.
Right, but these days, no roof materials,
no one,
unless you're using
yeah.
clay,
so we kind
real
of,
clay tiles.
Yeah. So we generally can get okay with that alternative.
With the roofing material, for sure.
So that is fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will make one other note that I saw somewhere in reading the materials, is that some of these buildings were in poor condition, and poor condition does not take away from your historic integrity. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, that it may, you know, bark like a dog, but if it's historic, it's historic. So poor condition isn't a rationale for tearing something down. So when we do a continuation, we have two options to do. And I'll leave this up to the property owner. We can continue it to a date certain. Or we can leave it at an open-ended date. If we leave it for an open-ended date, when you do come back with whatever proposal you want to bring forward the second time, you would need to pay for the city to send notices out to the surrounding neighbors and public that and do that notice. So that means you would have to pay for that a second time. If we do it to a date certain, then we avoid that cost to the property owner. The city wouldn't need to do that noticing. If, however, you pick a date that's, say, I don't know, 2 months from now, and you find that as we're getting closer, you're not quite ready, it would appear on the agenda for that date and then say it's being continued because you're not really, really ready to bring it forward. So in my mind, there's not really a downside to picking a date. When you think you might be ready to bring it back, and staff would need some lead time of, tell me how much, Mr. Beckman?
Approximately 3 to 4 weeks of lead time for the noticing.
So think about when you might be ready to come back with something. I think we do want to see a revised assessment that looks at assessing the buildings that are there currently to factor in that whatever time that might take, which could be done in parallel to whatever else you're doing. So do you have a date in mind that you'd like us to continue it to? In 3 months? 2 months? Okay, so that takes us to December.
It would be the 17th, Chair.
17th? Okay.
Yes, it is, I'm just going to say, it is a little close to, certain upcoming sure. holidays, but if that's a date certain, then we can
Somebody's
stick to that
birthday,
and we'll hold a meeting.
We won't talk about that.
Understood.
Okay. Do I have one of my colleagues prepared to make a motion to continue this item?
I can make a motion. Chair, I move that we continue this project, which is
5156,
to the meeting of December 17th, in order to give the applicant an opportunity to revise the plans and to revise the historic assessment.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Maybe have a vote, please. It's not on the screen. On the floor? I'm on the floor. Here we go. Motion passes unanimously. Good luck. Thank you for your consideration. With that, we will adjourn the meeting. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is November 5th here in these chambers. And good evening to everyone. Thank you for your time.